Hey, hey, adventurers. Welcome to episode 2 of Campaign 2. As you all settle in for another spicy episode, let me tell you about all the sweet new merch available on our website, VentureMaidens.com. We've got tumblers and journals and new t-shirt, tank top, and hoodie designs, along with sweet zipper pouches that are perfect for holding art supplies, makeup, or any other adventuring gear you have. Nassim, Katie, and our resident wizard Mike have been hard at work coming up with new designs so you all can rep your love for Venture Maidens in style. We'll be periodically uploading new goodies, so check back often. And of course, we wouldn't be here without the amazing generosity of our Patreon donors. Unending thanks to you folks for donating to support all that we do here at Venture Maidens. And of course, a very special shout out to Emily Mayo for our new Whimsically Dangerous theme song, and Sirenscape for providing additional ambient music. A quick recap of what happened last time. Last time on Venture Maidens, we met our heroes and learned more about their jobs at the unnamed outpost being constructed at the edge of the Feywalk jungles. A typical day started to go very wrong when one of the camp staff was afflicted with a strange magical ailment that began transforming her into some kind of plant humanoid. With the unexpected aid of a child named Rook, our crew headed into the jungle in search of missing soldiers and some answers. And that's what happened! As a quick note to you, dear listener, you can expect to hear themes of body horror and insects in this episode. Now, before we jump into the action, we're going to play you an ad for Beholder, an amazing show featuring the ever-lovely Lisa Penrose of Penwich Studios.
If you love the podcast you're listening to now, then you should check out the rest of the Penwich Studio podcast network, like Behold Her. The tabletop hobby is full of badass femmes with equally badass stories to tell, and you can behold them in Behold Her podcast. Every episode centers around a theme like accessibility in gaming or decolonizing Dungeons & Dragons, and features several interviews and an audio story. The goal of Behold Her? Demonstrate that the femme gamer experience is as rich and diverse as we are as individuals. So join us. Listen to Behold Her wherever podcasts are free, or check us out at patreon.com/beholdher.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. This week we delve deep underground, where fairy foes are to be found. Are their captured friends now dead? Or will it be our heroes instead? Let's find out in Campaign 2, Episode 2, Plant Matter.
Campaign 2, Episode 2! We've made it to Episode 2. Everyone is alive, even though we're level 1.
Barely.
We're hanging on.
Yeah, no, we're good. Hey, everybody, welcome! If you are brand new here, super duper welcome. This is Venture Maidens. We are an actual play 5th edition podcast. We just started this Campaign 2 after running Campaign 1 for 5 years. We have dived into a new campaign set in the same world, but 10 years in the future from Campaign 1, and featuring, of course, an all-new cast of characters, which we all got to meet last episode, and it's shaping up to be very cool. So hey, everybody, welcome. Wow, how are you all doing? You ready for episode 2? You ready to take it on?
I've been waiting for 2 weeks. I'm so excited.
Yay!
Are you sure we can't just play every day?
I'm just sitting over here looking at our hit points in chat right now thinking, you know, this battle at the very least is going to be entertaining.
Yes, yes. I did ask everybody to put their hit points in the chat so I can just keep in mind how hard things hit. It's been a while. It's been a while since I ran for level one. But anyway, let's go ahead and dive in. Hey, everybody. My name is Celeste Conowich, and tonight I will be your dungeon master.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I'm going to be playing Luvira Saf, your drow rogue.
I am Nassim, and I'm playing your half-orc fighter, Fittonia Silvertail.
And I'm Sage, and I'll be your feckin' bard, Aoife Flannery.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Oh, man. People are asking in chat what the hit points are. I believe, Aoife, we have 8. Tony, that's a 12. And Lou, that's a 10 for hit points. So, just so you all know. Good shit, good shit. But yeah, thank you so much for being here. It means the world to us that you are helping us launch this new campaign. So many of you came out for episode 1, and we are thrilled to have you back for episode 2 as we begin this journey. Yeah, that is where we are beginning our story. So you all had run back to camp, basically, after looking for whatever it was that had affected Winnie, and you hadn't been able to find anything. But this alarm bell had sounded. You had rushed back there. Very rapidly, you had discovered that some soldiers had been basically pulled underground and were missing. So the whole camp was up in arms, freaking out, making up these big search parties. So you all went. You kind of already were in a natural search party here. You went to go check on Winnie. You found that she wasn't there. She was gone. But Rook had been there. And now with the help of Rook, who apparently, well, knows quite a bit about the Fae, you had managed to find this strange woven branch den in the middle of the Feywalk jungles. Rook had ordered you basically to chop through it. So Tony and Charlie had smashed through the branches, and now you are standing inside this structure, which is completely dark. And you all are standing on a packed earthen balcony that looks down into this vast, deep sinkhole in the ground. And you can see that the pathway you're standing on continues along the walls in this circular motion, kind of spiraling down into the darkness beyond even the range of dark vision for those of you who have it, including you, Lou, with your like super drow dark vision. And bursting through the wall at these points are these large, they almost look like flower buds, but they're pointed at the ends, and there's these fleshy green masses somewhere between plant and skin pulsing against the walls here. So you all are standing now together in this group. You have Charlie with you, you know, our male half-elf himbo towering up above you, and then you have Rook, who is a child who appears to be maybe 10, 11 or so, with dark skin and carrying this crossbow that is made for somebody twice her size. So here we are, beginning episode 2.
Well then. Lou's just kind of like looking around and kind of like reaches out to like touch one of these pulsing sacks. trying to see if like you can feel inside, like.
Yeah, for sure. So where you are, you're at the very top of this structure. So to get to one of these pods, they're not like hundreds of them. There's maybe now like 10 or so that you can see kind of punctuated through the walls at different points. They're almost like the ends of roots that are just sticking through these earthen walls at different points. So if you want to walk down this pathway a little, you can definitely touch the nearest one. It's probably about 30 feet away or so.
Yeah, she'll kind of like step into the front a little bit, having that really good dark vision. She'll kind of like whisper under her breath, if you want, I can go first and kind of scout around.
And you hear Rook next to you. He's like, that's fine by me. And you hear like a drawing sound of the crossbow bolt being like loaded and like ready to go.
Would we not prefer a little illumination?
Why, you can't see?
No, I really can't.
I forget that some people can't see in the dark. Okay.
Your audio just cut out.
Maybe we shouldn't give away our position just yet. If Lou wants to scout out, I'll accompany her. And you can stay right here with Rook, and she hopefully can tell you what's around. If needed, go ahead and light up, but let's wait a moment.
Oh, sure. And she'll scoot over uncomfortably close to Rook.
Who, you can't see her, but you can just feel the energy coming off of her in the dark. Yeah, so Lou, you're walking up to touch one of these things?
I am beside you. I am right beside you. I have my shield ready.
Hell yeah. So Tony and Lou are creeping up towards one of these things, and you can see, even from this distance, it does twitch just a little. You don't think in response to you, but like it just has like a natural pulse to it. And so as you get closer and closer to this thing reaching out in the darkness, your fingers graze against it, and it feels waxy and tough, leathery almost.
Should I cut it open? Or maybe we wait and move forward and see what else is happening here?
I didn't see anything like this in my previous shift, my night patrol, did I?
Absolutely not. You have never seen anything this weird on any of your patrols, and none of the soldiers you're familiar with have seen anything like this. Your experience has been very tame so far. This is totally weird.
Hey, you're the chef. If you can, you know, delicately maybe slice a little sample off for testing.
Yeah.
Go for it. I haven't seen anything like this.
Okay. And she's gonna just like pull from her side her longest knife that's used to like cut giant fish and stuff like that. And she's just gonna kind of like put it at the very like top of it and kind of just like graze down, just trying to get like a first like layer.
Okay. So since you're doing this delicately, I would say go ahead and give me a sleight of hand check on this to not hurt anything that might be inside.
That is a 16.
Okay. Yeah. So you deftly, Tony, you watch Lou with a very practiced motion slice open this thing. And, you know, nothing explodes or squirts out or whatever because the cut was so fine. So you have these two kind of sheets now. And you can tell, I mean, this material is fibrous. It does appear to be a plant material, like one of those thick, almost like banana leaves, you know, how when you wrap around them, they are really thick and sturdy. So you kind of have those two folds in your hand.
Lou just is like, looks and just kind of almost waiting for like someone to tell her to stop because she's really curious about what the fuck this is.
Everybody's breath is held behind you. Yes, yeah, so they're all
of her motions are like really slow, just like giving somebody a moment. But like, she just like will peel it back, and if there's this, like nothing happens, and there's another layer, she'll try to make a slight next incision.
Yeah, and you as you pull it back, you do see there is another layer underneath. So this thing is clearly wrapped like almost like corn, you know, have you pull back the layers of this thing.
We're husking.
Yeah, you're husking this thing, and you do, and you keep going through layers, and you get through two or three, and each one is becoming a little bit more delicate until and there's like a puff of dust that comes up into your face. And it's weird. It's kind of sweet smelling, actually, but like it gets in your nose and mouth and like gross.
What's it taste like?
I don't think it tastes like much. It's more like ash, where it kind of just like the minute it hits like the moisture of your mouth, it's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're looking now at this kind of hollow cavity inside, you can see that there are dusty powdered remains and a few bones inside.
What?
Luke slowly turns to Tony and she's like, that ain't right.
No.
This plant's eating people. Okay. Well, I think that in case there's anybody who's, you know, in process of being eaten, maybe not all the way eaten, maybe we should cut the rest open and see if there's anyone savable.
And Lou, you get your elbow knocked as Rook kind of like shoves her head and like peering down at the bones.
Can any of you identify what kind of bones this creature belongs to?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to try. I wanted to, like, you know, open the rest of it and see what I see. Can I roll? What can I roll?
Yeah. Medicine? Why don't you go ahead and give me either a nature or survival or medicine. Any of those, I think, would give you some kind of indication.
Survival.
I would like to help, but I can't see.
But I can't see nothing. When you hear Rook's voice over there, you're like, well, she left me for sure.
Yeah, she immediately like scurries like, wait, don't leave me.
A 19 survival, please.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, you are looking at these bones and you're like, oh, yeah, this is probably some kind of deer. If you had to guess, you see the remains of what look like hooves, some ivory that has, like, stayed from maybe antlers.
Hmm.
So, yeah, a deer.
Wow. How big is this thing again?
Oh, the pods?
Yeah.
So they could ease about 4 or 5 feet in length, and they're long and tapered, sort of like cones. So, I mean, easily a humanoid body could be scrunched inside of one of these things. I mean, if a deer was fitting in there, like... quite big.
What were we doing on patrol that we missed this shit? Like,
if this was underground, inside, you haven't been this deep into the forest before. And then now, because you're standing in this subterranean sinkhole, like this well in the earth that was hidden by this like wood dome structure.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like this was like something that just, you know, was out of the ground and you're like, oh, no, that's fine. This was hidden. Somebody has taken the time to dig out this lair and then hide it from the world.
My goodness. It's a fucking deer, you guys.
Oh,
wait, what? Okay.
That's fine.
Hmm. So it seems it can eat more than just humanoids. That's interesting.
Why did it get decide to grab humanoids now?
Why are you touching a dead deer?
Hey, Eva, you can't see. This is horrifying. Sure.
Lou is just gonna go over and just like kind of like wrap her arm in Eva's arm and just pat.
Okay.
She appreciates it. She relaxes a little bit. You feel under your arm.
You can give yourself some light. I'm sorry, Aoife. I just wanted to make sure we were okay before we sliced into this thing.
Well, we're clearly not okay. We're standing in the lair of something that can do this to creatures.
Well, we should at least see if there's anything else roaming around down here. And I don't think any of us can be preoccupied guiding Aoife while we're doing that.
Fair enough.
She crosses her arms and she throws up a hand and you see two like little bobbins of what appear to be like little glowy bobbins with like colored yarn or string that tie them together as she casts dancing lights, and you see these little like bobbins dancing and floating and like twining around, makes little pink lights.
Oh, cool. So and Rook will say, oh, so you have magic. You're not entirely useless. That's good.
Oh, I can do things, and I know stuff.
Okay. Well, I think that was probably a good plan, cutting open another one of these pods, seeing if it is just more of these corpses, or if we're going to be dealing with... I don't really know. So, lead away.
On to the next, then.
Yeah, is there anything that, like, differentiates any pods from another? Like, one is in this stage of digestion, this is in a different stage of digestion.
Yeah, so looking at them now, they all appear to be pretty similar. They're that like deep kind of rich green color with those roots that seem to be holding them into place on the sides of the wall here. All of them are roughly the same size, maybe some variation between them, but not enough to be like, oh man, like something in there is huge or something in there is tiny. So not totally different from each other. You do see that the one that you've been cutting through now has started to gray and kind of wither very, very quickly after you've cut it. So, like, it's decomposing very rapidly.
Hmm. Well, I'll just go to the next one, I guess, and do more of the same. Try to cut it open carefully.
Yeah, I think now that you've done one, you're like, okay, like, I got this. And you do, you know, you rip through with your knives once again. And inside now, you don't get dust from this thing, but what you see is like a withered piece of plant material and some kind of stems, like woody branches, and dried petals. Very large, like, rose petals that have been dried and just sucked out of all the moisture in them.
Hmm. Do I know, like, have I seen this kind of rose before that anything would get to that size? Or am I like, this is some Feywild shit?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead, yeah, make me a nature check. Because this is big. I mean, this rose would have been 3 feet, 4 feet in dimension.
I got a 13.
A 13. Yeah, you are sure this is nothing natural. And Rook again creeps up and just shoves her face like right into the middle of your business. And she's like, I think this is a fey creature. Aren't you familiar with them, the Magnifita?
Can I roll?
I'm sorry, the what?
Something.
Magnifita. Yeah, you can go ahead and I'll just save you some time. Oh, you know, no, actually, Tony, you might know, having a legacy with the Fae coming from the Shifting Plains. Maybe you have heard. Oh, yeah. So go ahead and give me a Arcana or a Nature check.
Would this have been something that, like, my grandparents might have told me about, or?
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and also roll for me? See if you know.
I don't know shit.
15?
Wow, okay. 15's pretty good.
6.
Yeah. Aoife, you're sure you've never heard of anything like this. Tony, though, the Magnifita, that does kind of ring a bell. You know that there's a race of fae that they actually look like plants, particularly flowers. So this is something where, like, they resemble, like, living plants, and their heads are actually flowers of different kinds. So they're these beautiful and strange fae with these very complicated political societies based on, like, the size of your flower head and what type of flower head you are and, like, how beautiful it is. So this is a fae creature. You've never seen one, certainly, but you've heard of them.
This fucking thing ate a fae. That's a fae inside of it. At least I'm pretty sure it is. I mean, you, Rook, you said it. That's what this is, right?
I think so, but what kind of fae would eat another fae? This is getting really bizarre.
So you definitely think this plant thing is fae?
I mean, don't you? We're in the Feywalk jungles. It's sort of the MO around here.
I guess, but I haven't seen anything like this.
Well, if this thing is eating other fae, that means that it's not aligned with one of the courts, which means that we're in trouble. This is a free agent we're dealing with here. So it could be anything.
Wait, what are the courts?
Oh my god, you don't know anything. What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm sorry. The whole feckin' continent is like, oh, we hate fae. Let's send an army to go and fight them and keep them from getting into our country. So, you know, pardon me if I haven't been exactly educated on the intricacies of people we're not even allowed to talk about.
And you see a bunch of different kind of emotions go through her face before she goes, like, back to kind of a cool placidness. Well, I don't think now is the time for me to be explaining these things to you, but just the real quick summary, there are courts. They're sort of like your cities, I guess, and they all have different alliances, and if this thing is killing other fae, that means it's beholden to no one. So it's just, you could say a criminal, a rogue, an assassin fae, whatever the hell you want to call it. It's bad news.
Well, all right, but do we think this is the thing that attacked that Winnie? Do we think Winnie just happened upon this giant thing and managed to get away and just get sick?
I don't know, but I'm here to hunt down some fae, so I'm going to the bottom of this thing to get it figured out. If you would like to come, you're certainly welcome to. But if you're just going to hold me up, I can just go on from here by myself.
No, we're not going to leave Winnie if there's a chance that we can still help her. And also the two other people that were kidnapped, they could be down here. I'm still in.
And she will look at the rest of you. And Charlie will be like, oh yeah, me too.
Lou just pets Charlie on his big old shoulders and just knew you would be.
All right, I guess let's just start cutting up the rest of these pods.
Oh, yeah, no, Aoife, as soon as Charlie said, like, oh, I'm going too, she'd be like, oh, yeah, great, well, I'll just stick with you all then.
That sounds fun.
Whoa.
I love cutting things open. I could be so good at that.
Awesome. Yeah, and so just like the first pod structure, the second one begins to shrivel and decay very rapidly once you've cut it open. And you can see, yeah, there are maybe seven or so of these things still in your view, but each one is like on a lower tier, so it's leading you down, spiraling down this big well into the dark. So do you want to keep opening pods? Do you want to walk to the bottom? What's the game plan?
I mean, so far, most of the ones that we cut open, like, they're gone. So to me, like, unless we see some sort of difference as we go further down, like, we can come back and do this later. To me, we gotta try to find people who are living.
So you want to keep walking down into the darkness?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. You begin, you know, walking those long kind of loops around this dugout well. And the more you look at it too, it does look like something has cleaved and like scraped through the earth and the rock to form this cylinder down into the dark. This is certainly no kind of natural formation. Something has made this. And you continue walking past these pods when suddenly the ground below you starts to quiver and shake. And I need all of you to make dexterity saving throws for me.
18. Well, let me do Charlie.
18's good.
12.
Charlie got a 13.
Okay.
4.
A 4. Great. So all of a sudden, the ground starts to shake, and you all just register what's happening before these thick woody vines sprout out of the ground and start trying to wrap themselves around your arms and your legs. And most of you managed to jump out of the way in time, but Tony, you just had no warning. You couldn't move fast enough as these roots grasp around both of your legs and you feel yourself being dragged below the earth. So all of you, it's like quicksand watching Tony just disappear into this rock face. And before any of you can react, Rook is there and she grabs onto your hand, Tony, and they're gone. And the ground now is like rubble, but they were just pulled into the ground.
Who the hell are you, for God's sakes?
Oh, Tony, we'll get to you in a moment. What's happening to you and Rook? Don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, Lou's just gonna kind of, like, stomp around in the area and try to see, like, see if there's a way to get down there, but if there's nothing that she can find, she's just gonna grab everyone and try to start running down, you know?
Yeah, you do, and it's so weird, because you're looking at the earth, and, like, there's not even, like, a hole there. It's like they were phased, almost, through the ground. So, you know, you can look, and, yeah, so Lou, Aoife, and Charlie, I think all of you are probably, like, there's just no sign of where they went. So, yeah, is the plan to keep going? Yeah, what's the plan?
Scream.
Well, I guess I know. I think we know what happened to all the others.
Oh, don't say that. Let's hope that they don't end up in one of these fucking pods. I mean, I don't know what else to do. Should we just keep going down? It looked like they just went down.
Well, I didn't bring a shovel, but let's see what we can do.
Oh, no, like, there's further down that we can go down, like, the tunnel ways.
Oh, yeah,
like,
you all haven't seen the bottom of whatever this long staircase is leading to.
Got it. All right. Yeah, let's keep going. What can happen?
Sounds good.
And jumping over to Tony and Brooke. So, all of a sudden, you land on the ground with a heavy thud as you land on jagged, spiky rock, like you were just dropped from a ceiling, probably fell about 10 feet or so down, and your limbs hurt where these roots had grabbed onto you and, like, pulled you down. But other than feeling uncomfortable, you're not actually damaged. And as you kind of look around, you've been pulled into this very tight corridor that goes, it's like a tunnel that has all of these little, like, cilia-like tendrils hanging from the roof. So it's almost like a curtain that kind of obscures your vision. and just by your side, you feel Rook is shaking you. Are you dead?
Ah, no, whoa. Did we go through Earth like dirt passed by us? Did we just show up here? What happened? What just happened?
It kind of felt, yeah, like you were teleported. You don't really remember how. And the things that were pulling on you are gone. And Rook says, I don't know. I think we were pulled magically. But, well, anyway, you were pulled. And so I figured you shouldn't be alone. So I came with you.
What did you see? What did you do?
There were roots, tendrils, something that grabbed you and pulled you. And we seem to have phased through the ground. Disconcerting.
Yeah. She starts to look at her skin or I guess her leather where she was grabbed just to see if there was anything punctured. It didn't happen to touch any bare skin. She doesn't really have a lot of bare skin showing.
No, because you're wearing like full armor. Yeah. So it wouldn't have touched you anywhere on the skin.
Okay.
Yeah. So you look and there's no like scratches or even really any indication that something pulled you.
Okay. Well, she jumps up and starts to take a look around. Is there a path behind us going forward? Like, what sort of space are we in?
It looks like, yeah. So this is like a long tunnel that you got deposited in that continues going on the left and on the right. And, you know, the way this like curtain is, this fibrous web material is hanging, you can't really see too far in either direction. So they both look about equal to you.
Turns to Rook. I don't know, kid, what do you got? I don't know what you did to those things, but I mean, I'm glad you're here, okay? What, you have any thoughts about what's happening?
I didn't do anything. I just grabbed onto you. It was probably stupid. But let's see. She takes something out of her bag. You see several things at once. It's like a little, like a tin cup and like a stick that she takes out. And a marble, and she kind of lays them flat on the ground and watches them for a moment, and you see the marble starts to like lean down towards the left just slightly, and she says, well, left will take us further down, it appears.
Oh, that's smart.
What we're looking for is probably at the bottom of this thing. That's probably where we need to go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna borrow this real fast, and she takes the stick and just like in the dirt writes out, we're okay. Keep going down in case they happen to be behind us on their way. So that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you want to take off with Rook down towards the left, which is leaning slightly down as compared to the right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Rook again, she settles herself. And you see, looking at her, her armor is, it's very, it's too big. It's too big for her. And it's been weirdly tied together to like make it smaller. So it's like a full adult sized piece of armor that this child has fashioned to try and be okay for her body. And again, she hauls up this huge crossbow and just start walking down this tunnel.
Hey, how old are you?
Why? How old are you?
19.
Cool.
So you wanna.
What?
How old are you?
Why is that any of your business?
Well, I mean, you seem real tough for your age. I mean, not that I wasn't, you know, kind of a badass when I was your age, whatever age you are. But, I don't know, you just seem like you've kind of been around a little bit longer than you look.
Well, maybe if we get out of this alive, I'll tell you.
Okay. Well, I've got no problem with however old you are, just so you know. Just curious.
Older than I look. And she draws back the bolt again and just starts walking into the dark. And let's flash back to our crew who are now, what, kind of running down these twisting roads here. Cool. Somebody in this group, just roll me a d4. Don't add anything, just, you know, whatever happens.
I rolled a 1.
Okay. So after running and running and running for what seems like an eternity, especially now that two of your party members are gone, you reach the bottom of whatever this thing is. And so now you're probably about 400 feet below the ground from when you started, having run all this way around. And as you get to like the bottom, the last stage here, you see that the floor is very uneven at the bottom here, but still has been carved out. And there are tunnels that lead off in all directions from this point. And blanketing the floor at the bottom are these grayish, white, fleshy mushrooms form this field in all directions here. They've just sprouted up all over the place.
Do I have advantage on mushrooms?
Oh, yeah. As a drow? Fuck yeah, you do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. If there's one thing my people know,
it's fucking mushrooms.
Yes, just to kind of see what these are, make sure they're not poisonous, sort of anything that shoots out spores at very inconvenient times. Should I do
nature, I think. Roll nature or survival, I think, with advantage.
Okay. Yes. Shroom power. With that, I get a 21 for shroom investigation.
Holy shit, you know! So, you immediately can, like, throw out your hands and stop everyone from running further because you know that these are shriekers. So these mushrooms, while not particularly dangerous, if bright light or you come within 30 feet of them, they scream. They make a high-pitched, Jesus, wailing, screaming sound. You know that a lot of, like, Underdark creatures will put these mushrooms, like, allow groves of these mushrooms to spring up just to protect their lairs. So, because it's like an innate alarm system. And they are everywhere.
They're, oh, okay.
This is like a, like a 30 by 30 foot circle. And they have just been allowed to grow everywhere. To get to the tunnels on the other side, you're either going to have to trigger these mushrooms or do somehow get through the air to, like, get into these tunnels. And, like, go down the side and, like, crawl in, you know, on the ceiling.
I mean, what are we working with here? Like, are there lots of, like, vines and everything on,
there
on
are.
The walls
there are,
that we could
are,
try
like,
to
roots that
George
stick
of the
out?
Jungle?
Yeah, they're not, like, vines that you can George of the Jungle swing. But there are lots of roots, so potentially you could, if you were good, you could climb using the roots.
Kind of like boulder.
Yeah, boulder over there, basically.
Yeah, so Lou just kind of, like, is running forward and in the front with her dark vision and sees those and just, like, almost comically, like, puts her feet in front of her to, like, halt to a stop. And she's like, wait, 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 wait.
Charlie's like, what? And, like, bonks into you.
Charlie. Those mushrooms are not our friends. If we get close to those things, they are going to set off one hell of an alarm. Why are there so goddamn many?
I don't know. There's, like, he, like, kind of put some fingers up. He's like, there's a lot.
Yep. Yep, there are. Okay. Aoife, you have any surprises? Or are you good at climbing?
Well, you know, I'd have climbed a few walls in my time, but I don't have any magic for this situation, though.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to try to climb. What do I have in my bag? I got a rope and a piton.
Aoife doesn't have fancy mountain goat hooves.
Hooves? No, your delicate forest hooves. Yeah.
I'm really good at jumping.
You could probably do a jump climb combo. Jumping won't get you.
Hardcore parkour.
Parkour. Aoife's parkour.
Well, I'm gonna see if I can get to the center, and then maybe get this piton into the ceiling and kind of, like, make a situation where I can loop it through and then have them swing across.
Cool. All right, so you're going to try and climb up and towards the center?
Yeah, and then get that in there.
Yeah, all right. So go ahead and give me that athletics check for that climb.
I'm going to give you a bardic inspiration.
Yay! What do you do? What does Aoife's bardic inspiration look like?
And so she says, wait. Before you go, take this. And she takes out from one of her pockets in her cardigan, she takes out a felted red heart and says, it's a good luck charm.
Oh. Oh, God. Do you have a bunch of lucky charms that you just give to people?
No.
This is fucking ridiculous. No. All right.
Ha 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 ha
scrunched together, and she takes this little heart and she just tilts her head and is like, that is so wholesome. And she does not believe that's going to do shit for her, but she puts that
shut right in the boobs. D6.
Yeah.
Thanks, sweetie.
Mental note, must protect Aoife at all costs.
Must.
This sweet angel baby.
Yeah, Lou, you're here with two sweet summer children. Yeah.
I will die for both of them in a heartbeat.
Oh my god.
But yeah, all right, let me do the... What's the level one bardic inspiration? Is that a d4?
It's a d6.
Oh. A d6,
oh,
yeah.
Goddamn.
All right. Fucking athletics.
Athletics!
Okay, that's gonna be a 12.
Okay. It is hard. It is hard doing this because there isn't, like, somewhere nice to put your foot. It's not like rocky ledges. This is like carved out dirt, and you're just basically hanging on with your full body weight to these roots, hoping that they don't give up. Every once in a while, one does like just snap off under your weight, and it's hell as you are like climbing up and above, because you know if you get within 30 feet of these mushrooms, they will start screaming. So you have to go really, really high up and then around, and it's hell. But you managed to do it. You managed to get there towards the center point. But
yes,
you do have to drive this thing into a wall, rig this rope, all the while hanging on one-handed. So let's go ahead and make me a sleight of hand check to see if you can accomplish that.
Okay, I'm better at that. So that's good, because I used my inspiration for that first one.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So you got a 6 and then what? Good. Oh, level one adventuring.
That's a 1.
Neat. Neat. So you are trying your damnedest here. You've gotten up to this point. You're hanging just the full weight of trying to hang on, and you manage to fumble like the hook and eye thing out of your bag, and like you're trying to hold the rope in your teeth, and you hear a crack as that branch, that heavy branch that you were hanging on, just disintegrates, and you fall right into the middle of a swarm of these mushrooms, and they just start going, it's like these mushrooms just start screaming, and the fact that one starts screaming in the middle, they all start screaming in the middle. It is the loudest sound you have ever heard in your entire lives. Aoife, you cannot hear anything. Your brain is so full of the screaming of like 100 mushrooms just wailing at the top of their lungs. Well, hello, travelers. You've made it to this episode's midroll. We hope you are enjoying Campaign 2 as much as we are. It is so awesome to be getting such positive feedback after embarking on such a new and exciting quest. Speaking of feedback, it would mean the world to us if you took a minute to open up your podcatcher of choice and leave us a rating and review. Leaving a rating and review is the all-time best, totally free way to help support and grow the show. While I have you here on this mid-episode breather, I also want to chat with you about our podcast network, Penwich Studio. Penwich Studio is a podcast network focused on uplifting rarely heard voices in the geek community. And we are now looking for sponsors. As a new network, we offer extremely affordable ad rates, so listeners like you can purchase a pre-roll or mid-roll spot and have us promote your product or business. Do you have an upcoming Kickstarter, a podcast of your very own that you'd like to promote? How about an Etsy store? If so, reach out to Penwich Studio to purchase ad space today by emailing penwichstudio@gmail.com. And spread the word to thousands of listeners across the globe about your product. We can't wait to hear about all the wonderful things you are up to. So let's see. I covered ratings and reviews. I covered Penwich Studio ad space. So I guess that's it. I'll let y'all get right back into the episode, and I'll talk to you next time, venturers. And we're gonna jump over to Tony and Rook. somewhere you hear a sound. It's very faint. It almost sounds like screaming, but it kind of goes away after a while. But you see Rook crouches down all tense the minute that happens. Did you hear that?
Yeah. I think there's like ghosts here.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised at this point, phasing through rock, falling through. What the hell's going on? I've never seen a fae like this, and that's saying something.
Is there any kind of like indication of if that sound was behind or ahead of us?
It sort of feels like it was above you somewhere. It's hard to say, but it's like that, you know, when you're underground, things are so weirdly quiet and muted that you're not really sure, but it does kind of fade away the more you listen to it as you keep going down this passageway. Why don't you go ahead, since you're kind of stopping and, like, taking in the environment, make me a perception check, Tony.
Alrighty. Let's give me something for once. Nope. Well, actually, you know what? 14?
Okay. You know what? DCs are also lower at these levels, so everything is like, you need a 10 or a 12, so... So yeah, while you're pausing, you know, the sound kind of fades away and is drowned in just the heavy amount of earth above you, but you start to smell something coming from this passageway. There's a very sweet smell coming from somewhere up ahead. Like sugary sweet, sickly sweet.
Hmm. You smell that, Rook?
Now that you mention it. Yeah. That's probably not good or a good sign, depending. But we're getting closer. I don't really know.
I don't think anything good is waiting for us the closer we get.
Well, we sort of knew that when we came in here.
Yeah, but do you think that we should go back to that screaming and see if it happened to be our friends or keep going forward on our own?
Well, I suspect that we were dragged down here probably to a different part of the region. I highly doubt that we'll be able to easily reach our friends again. Plus, there's two of us. Three of them. They should be able to handle themselves, right?
I don't know them that well. I hope they do.
Well, they have that one big guy. It'll take a while for a monster to eat through him, so.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I guess let's move forward, and if needed, we can at least warn them if something is bad ahead.
I'd rather have answers. So, I think let's push on.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And she does. She crouches down and starts moving forward very stealthily. Do you follow suit or just keep going at normal pace?
I mean, she's not real good with the stealth. She's big and has a lot of metal things. But we'll try. Let's just try to be stealthy. Why not?
Okay. Let's just give it a try. This has been a night of awesome rolls. No worries.
100%.
No worries, dude.
What'd you got?
Oh, oh, fuck. Okay. Eight.
An eight. Good. Yes. You know, you're terrible at sneaking. But you do see every once in a while, Rook just throws shade back over her shoulder at you as you continue to move down this hallway.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
She's just like,
I know. I know.
What are you wearing? But the tunnel does eventually open up into another subterranean chamber that is larger. And you can see that this chamber has several of those pods in them. These ones look larger, brighter colored. They're moving much more. They even seem to have sort of a glow that's coming from inside of them. And while you're taking all of this in, you see that you're not alone in this room. Rook, like, holds up, like, a stop hand and kind of, like, points over towards one of these things where you can see this humanoid-shaped figure is the best way to describe it, but it seems to be made of vines that almost look like sinews kind of wrap around each other. And you can see the head of this thing is sort of, like, lolling in the middle of this almost like leafy collar, and it's this very odd amalgamation of human and plant, and it's swaying back and forth in front of one of these pods, and you see something come out of its mouth, this very long tube, like a proboscis, that comes out, and just towards the tapered end of this thing, and you hear a slurping sound as this thing is feeding on whatever is inside this tube. Yeah, Rook looks at you too and is just like,
this is amazing.
Oh god. Okay. How far away is this flowery, viney humanoid?
Yeah, it's maybe like, I mean, this cavern is maybe 20 by 20 kind of cylinder around. You can see that there is a tunnel that leads through this chamber, like down further below, and you can see it definitely takes a slope. But this thing is on the far side of the room, so maybe 20 feet away from you. It doesn't seem to have noticed you, even with all of the noise and everything. It seems very engaged in feeding and not particularly interested in the two of you.
Okay, Brooke, these things have to still be alive in here. It's still eating off of them. We have to take that thing out.
I agree. Should I go first or should you?
Maybe you. And I will support. I will flank.
Great. Okay, so let's go ahead and roll initiative real quick here. So Tony, go ahead and give me that initiative.
14.
14. First initiative, everybody. First initiative. And I'll roll for my thing. The thing. I'm hoping that I'm gonna not say all these monster names this time because they're all, like, new from the Venture Maiden's campaign guide. So hopefully they haven't been, like, in my head just forever.
Well, this time if you say it, we won't know what the hell you're talking about.
That's true. So, ha ha! Gotcha. So, Rook goes ahead and she takes a knee and then levels this crossbow. And you can see now that something is tipped on the end of this crossbow. It looks like something shining, maybe silver, as it fires off towards this thing and nails it, like, right in the back. And all the spiny, like, kind of vines that form its back start to blacken and wither as it kind of turns around. And you can see this thing, it doesn't have, like, a true neck support, so the head just kind of leans back and forth, like, winding between the shoulders. And now that you look at it, it looks so human, just like with this kind of these shelves of flowers that have been, like, built out of its face. And it's very clear that the smell, it intensifies as you, like, wail this thing and damage it. So whatever that sickly sweet scent is, it's coming from these creatures. And it turns at you with these, like, confused eyes. And we come to you, Tony.
Yes. Well, I would like to try to get closer and then swing my great sword across its face.
Yeah. All right. So go ahead and give me that roll. Great sword. So honking big.
To hit, I got a 16.
A 16 will certainly hit.
Yay. Okay. That's 14 slashing damage. Rolled 2 sixes there.
So what does it look like when you destroy this thing?
Hey.
Nice.
When I say through the face, I meant, like, I was going for, like, straight through the open mouth where that tube is coming out of. She does, like, a big old twirl with that great sword and slices, lets the gravity swing it through straight through the middle of its face through its open mouth to, like, almost decapitate it, but halfway.
Yeah, and as you do, you know, you can see this proboscis thing, it's where, like, a human tongue would be. It has, like, evolved into this tube. And as you slice through it, there's a splatter of red that comes across that you're sure didn't come from the creature, but whatever it was feeding on. Mm. And this thing crumples into a mass on the ground. And Rook kind of looks at you and nods.
Nods back.
Nice.
Nods right back.
And then Rook will run up towards this pod to take a look. What's going on here? But let's jump back to our our shrieking mushroom friends. Okay, so hey, Team Shrieker. So right now, Aoife and Charlie, you just watched Lou unceremoniously just fall from the ceiling and is now kind of laying flat in the middle of these screaming mushrooms. You cannot hear anything other than the screaming. What are you all doing?
Lou is just like, trying not to look back at everybody, and even though the situation is completely out of control, trying to rein it back in by just trying to stomp on as many mushrooms around her as she can and just pulverize them.
Yeah, you are. And, you know, they have like one hit point. So, you know, you're stomping on them, but there's so many of them. So Aoife and Charlie, you see Lou as freaking out and stomping things. Aoife, what are you doing?
She definitely has her hands clasped over her like little goat ears that hang off her head. And she just starts, we had seen that there is another passage to continue through here, right?
Oh yeah, there are several leading out of here.
Yeah, she'll run to the one that's like on the leftmost and will, yeah, start looking at it, you know, trying to get the lay of the land if it looks like it goes downward, if it, yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like, I mean, there's kind of a labyrinth of these tunnels to choose from, and it's hard to tell, especially with like the ringing in your ears, what looks different or not. But why don't you go ahead and give me either a perception or survival to see if you can distinguish any difference.
All right, those are both the same. So that is an 11 for survival.
Okay, so you're looking, you're like, oh, they're all rocky, they're all like carved in the ground, but you think that this one on the far left maybe looks like it's going down, sloped downwards more than the others, marginally.
Yeah, and she'll, like, like over the screaming of the mushrooms, she's shouting and, like, using one hand to point down this tunnel, should we go down?
And Charlie's just like, what?
She's, like, pointing down with her hand and, like, shrugs.
Yeah, and, like, Charlie comes over, like, just stomps over to Lou, who's, like, he's just still smashing mushrooms, and he starts pointing at Aoife.
Yeah, I think that Charlie has to just, like, grab her around the waist and take her back.
Yeah, he'll just pick you up.
Mushrooms who are dealing with Lou's wrath of the moment.
Yeah, there's like crumbled mushroom caps all around you. You think the screaming has actually gotten worse the more you've killed their kind. So you all can, run towards where Aoife is. And do you keep going until the mushrooms stop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, so you keep going. You run about 30 feet away and suddenly, like, just, yeah, it's all gone. Like, the scream just stops off immediately and it's just the ringing sound in your ears. But all you go ahead and make perception checks for me at disadvantage, since you just got blasted in the earballs.
Ooh, those are both 12s for a total of 15.
Okay, they're not bad.
I surprisingly got a 20 and a 15, so 18. And then Charlie.
Wow.
Charlie. Charlie got a 8.
Wow. It is shocking that Lou, that you can pick this up after what you've just been through, but you begin to hear a clattering sound, like nails on the edge of a table, sort of a skittering sound of something sharp moving against rock, and you think it's coming down the tunnel towards where you are. So something is coming to the mushrooms. So you have a moment to, like, react and deal with that.
Is there, like, anything to hide behind?
There are, like, some kind of rocks, but not really. It's mostly just, like, a burrowed-out tunnel.
Okay. Yeah, I think that hearing this, she's just gonna, like, slap both of them quiet and kind of, like, go towards the side and basically train one of her knives to be ready for when something comes into vision. If it looks, you know, frightening, like most things in here, she'll go for an attack.
Yeah. Seeing Lou prep herself, you see Aoife pulls out a rapier and stands ready.
Yeah. So you do, and you see, as you're ready for whatever is going to come around the corner, crawling on the ceiling is a chitinous creature that has six legs that almost that are armored like a crab's as it comes around here. And you can see it's got this long neck that has this purplish bruised skin almost with all of these jagged teeth in its mouth. And it skitters around the ceiling here. And it's large. So it takes up quite a bit of this tunnel. And it comes around the corner and like stops and, you know, it's like pierced onto the ceiling here. Swings its head, its vision back and forth. And then sees all of you. And there's like this moment where it's looking at you and you're looking at it. and then it starts to walk backwards and scuttles down away from you. Back the way it came.
Oh, that's right! You're going, run!
Run!
Do I see anything with my 120 feet of dark vision? Like, is it going towards a particular room? Does it...
Is it getting friends?
Yeah, does it have friends?
It just turned around. So you were going, like, down this tunnel, right? That's, like, going down into the earth at, like, a 45-degree slant. So this thing came up from whatever was down, saw you all, and decided to just go back down where it was coming from. So your vision goes to the point where you can't see anymore just because of that natural slope. So you're not sure what the hell's down there. You can, if you want, maybe make an insight check or...
Sure.
To see if you can got a read off of what this creature was doing.
That's gonna be 11.
Yeah, you're, It doesn't seem like a normal thing for a creature that big and scary to, like, have seen you and run away. Honestly, you're not that intimidating compared to, like, this creature. So it's safe to assume that it's probably going back to either get friends or maybe it's been trained.
If that's what I assume, then when it comes and is within range and sees us, Lou is going to take her knife and throw it at its neck, its long fucking neck.
Yeah, all right, go ahead and roll to see if you can whale it.
That is a 18.
An 18, yes, that will absolutely pierce through, and it crunches like a crab through its chitinous armor, and you manage to sink a hit into this thing.
That's going to be 7 points of piercing damage.
Rude. Yeah, and it lets out like a kind of shrieky sound as this happens. And you hear just like a scuttling clacking of its jaws, like it's really mad, but it still runs away from you, which is also very interesting.
What'd you have to hit it for? It's running away.
Oh,
who knows to where and to what? Have you looked around us, Aoife? This place is fucking scary. I don't want anything that's going to harm us to walk away. We get to be the ones who walk away.
Well, what if I just stepped into your house and just started throwing daggers at you? It'd be quite rude, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It wouldn't be the first time.
You're the voice of every NPC I've ever played, Sage.
And then as soon as Lou's like, well, it wouldn't be the first time, Aoife just looks at you and just like with shock. It's like, and is like speechless. She's like, oh, well, are we gonna run after it?
We should probably run after it if it's gonna get friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. I don't want to fight a bunch of those things. Yeah, and she's just going to make her way kind of towards it, trying to keep it within range. And as she's, like, running down the hall, like, picks up the knife that had clattered to the ground and puts it back in her pack.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, if it's a fae, I can speak Sylvan.
Well, why didn't you lead with that? She, like, shouts back as she's running.
Yeah, because you all are running. And this thing is, like, it is one of those underground, like, mine cart chase scenes where, like, you're going through these tunnels and this thing is, like, racing along the ceiling trying to get ahead of you. And you all are running as fast as you can to try and get it. And we're going to flash back to Tony and Rook. So here you are, standing in front of this big pod thing with this dead creature now on the ground. Should we open it up?
Yeah, Tony's already going to slice it open and...
Be careful, there could be something alive in there.
Yep, I figured that.
Okay. Go ahead and make me a sleight of hand. See how delicately you can do this, Tony. I'll say you can have advantage because Rook is, like, there sort of helping you and, like, pulling the leaves back and, like, trying to... mimic what Lou was doing before.
Okay. That's 19.
Yeah, damn. All right. So you managed to do it. You like, because your sword is so big, you can't do the delicate motions that Lou did, but you kind of just like shave off the top and you're like, this will be good. So you peel off the top of this and immediately like gooey ichor starts coming out of this thing as like liquid and a reddish sap almost starts to bleed out of this thing. And you see in the middle of all this, in this cavity, is a person that is laying in here. It looks like an Eldrin. At this point, like, there is some clothing still on him, but a lot of it has just, you know, when clothing is in water or submerged in something for quite a while, it starts to kind of deteriorate. But he's covered in this sticky substance here.
Oh, dang. If there's anything, like, attached to him, bound to him in this pod, whatever it is, Tony starts trying to, like, clear it from him and wipe as much of the goo off as possible and, like, slap them around and see if they'll wake up at all.
Yeah, you do. Why don't you go ahead and give me a medicine check while you're doing all this?
How effective are my slaps? Ooh, I rolled a 1. That's nice.
Oh, good. Yeah, so you are, you know, you're just, like, basically shoveling the goop off of this person and, like, trying to, and you manage to determine, like, his chest is moving. Like, he is alive. But no matter how much you, like, smack him or try to get him to wake up, he's not waking up, and you're not really sure what's wrong. I mean, the adrenaline is, like, pumping through your veins so fast right now, and, like, any one of those plant things could come at any moment, and it's just really hard to get a kind of medical read on the situation, but you're pretty sure he's alive.
Oh, his chest is moving, so he can actually breathe.
Yeah, he's breathing. Once you've, like, scooped the goo off of his face, he does appear to be breathing.
That's good. Okay, well, as much as I can clear off the rest of him, I'll just, like, sling him over my shoulder and be like, okay, is there any other ones?
I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but I can't exactly carry anybody else here, so, and she looks around the room, and there's like, 5 or 6 more of these pods, all about the same kind of size and weight. She's like, I hate to say this, but maybe we should take care of the thing making these and hope that that will help everyone at once.
Didn't we just do that? Isn't it dead? What else is there?
Well, look at that. That's a chump. It's like 2 hits. That's clearly not. Yeah, this is probably whatever your friend was going to turn into.
Oh. Oh. Oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just coming home, huh? Right now, you're just figuring that out?
Yeah, okay, well, give me a second, goddamn, as I haven't encountered anything like this, you smart-ass little child, or not child that you are, okay? This is new. You're a fae, and you're around this stuff, so give me a minute. Give me a minute.
Don't call me a fae. Whatever. Doesn't matter. She looks back at you.
Well.
Gives you that same look.
You called yourself a fae first before anyone else did, so.
I didn't call myself a fae. I told you not to tell your name to the fae, which you shouldn't do. That's just a good sense. I was trying to help you.
Oh, well, that's a really interesting way of teaching. Ah, oh, okay.
Well, you know what? Whatever. Don't judge me. You don't know me.
Let's open up these other pods, shall we? And then we can move forward.
Fine. If you want to do that, if you want to waste your time doing that, or we could go down there and confront the big baddie right away, but whatever. It's up to you.
Yeah, I'd rather do that.
The big baddie?
No, I want to open up these other pods first.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Give these other things, like, a chance to either wake up first or... I don't know what kind of damage that thing is capable of doing while they're still in there, so I'd rather wake them up first.
That's fair. So you go around and you start slicing open these things. And now that you've done one, it is easier and easier. And as you're looking, you find that you found an Eldrin in there. You also find a halfling, female halfling. And you do recall that the 2 missing soldiers who were pulled underground were an Eldrin male and a female halfling. So you feel like these are probably the 2 missing soldiers who were pulled under the earth. The rest of the pods are filled with beasts, so more like deer or like raccoons, things in various stages of decomposition as well. But the 2 humanoids seem the freshest, and you're able to pull them out. And just like the Eldrin, the halfling is breathing.
Okay. Then once I've found the halfling, I'll put the Eldrin down beside them and just leave them there to kind of relax for a bit and
you relax. Wake up in your goo puddle and relax.
I'm not gonna carry you to whatever the hell is further down here and then carry you all the way back up. So you're gonna sit here, sit tight, don't move. Hopefully you can hear me. Yeah, good.
Rook is
see you in a bit.
Serious? Like what the fuck? Like while you're doing
Do you have a better idea? Do you have a better one?
Why are you so combative? What's your deal?
Because of the way you stare at me, my God. Okay, whatever. Let's go forward.
Whatever. And she'll, yeah, stump into the dark, heading further and further downwards. And flashing back to the rest of you. So you are chasing now this thing that is leading you past other tunnels that branch off from this point. Are you continuing to pursue this thing? Yeah, Lou?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going after this thing, but, like, yelling back over to Aoife, like, well, talk to it if you're gonna, otherwise it's getting another knife.
And she's gonna shout, wait, I'm sorry, my friend threw a dagger at you! We don't mean any harm in Sylvan.
All right, and as you're yelling this in Sylvan, the creature does not respond in any way. It either doesn't understand Sylvan or just doesn't understand language.
Does not care. All right, yeah, and then she's going to shout back to Lou. All right, I guess we're fucking fighting it.
Knife it is.
Yay, knife! So why don't you go ahead and I'll let you do one more at disadvantage because you are like full speed chase trying to run this thing and it's crawling on the ceiling and you're trying to throw a knife at it.
Okay, that's going to be a 12.
A 12 is going to bounce off of its armored body, doing nothing, and your knife clatters to the ground. You can pick it up in the middle of running, but as you continue to pursue it, eventually you see it, like, jumps down. The tunnel it was in comes to an end, and it just leaps, falls downwards, and you all kind of do that Scooby-Doo as you get to the very edge of this, like, tunnel, and you see that you are standing at the edge of this large, large central cavern. And the cavern of this room is crawling with these root-like tendrils that just form this crisscross network sort of all over the floor. And at the very, very center of this room is a sort of wooden platform with this tall figure who is standing atop it. And this creature, this armored thing, has jumped down about 15 feet onto the ground below and is skittering towards this figure in the center of the room here. And I will say also, Tony and Rook, as you two are running downwards and, like, following this path, you also come out onto this room. And from across the way, you see here that both of these tunnels you've been in have led down into this main central cavern, and a bunch of other tunnels come from different directions as if this is, like, the central room or, like, kind of hive of this place. And this figure stands maybe, like, 8-9 feet tall, very thin and willowy, almost like a humanoid that's been stretched very thin, and has this green skin and these glittering red eyes. Something about them is very strange, very insectoid. As she turns and looks around the room, and this, like, creature skitters up to her and, like, kind of sits at her side, and she puts a long hand on its head, and she says in Sylvan out, "Welcome to my abode. It's been quite some time since we've had fresh meat." And that's where we're going to end the episode for today.
Oh, feck this.
Oh, feck.
Can't wait for first line. What the fuck did she just say?
Whisper.
Speaking of English.
Excuse me? Yeah, yeah. Tony's like, what? Oh, boy. Well, thank you all so much for joining us for episode 2. I know it was a spicy meatball full of content warnings. But before we do our outro, we have our new tradition that we're going to do. Like I mentioned, sort of on episode 1, Something I really want to incorporate into this campaign is getting to know our characters a little bit more and having those moments of connection. So every episode, we're either going to do a dream, like we saw last episode, we're going to hear a letter, or we're going to explore a memory from the past. So for this episode, we are closing out with a letter to Lou. So maybe this is something you received the day before, right before all of this started. Let's read that letter, Lou.
All right. It says, "Dear Loopy, I know it's been very long since you left, but things have gotten pretty boring since you and Charlie headed off to the front. Lark has been more moody lately, if you can believe it, and Erbrun hasn't left the restaurant for a week. Even Larry has started sleeping under your bed every night. We all miss you, but we're proud of you. We're proud you're out there seeing more of the world and trying new things. While I'm perfectly happy here in Chasiana, I can't help but feel a little jealous of your adventure. You must be meeting so many interesting people. You are trying to make friends, aren't you? I know that you sometimes get a little, well, you know, loopy. But it's really important that you be patient and try to see the best in people. This old rogue would have been dead long ago without a network of people to watch my back. But I won't push the point too much more. I just hope that you're getting out of your shell every once in a while. Anyway, I hope that you're well, and I hope that Charlie isn't giving you too much trouble. Don't forget to write and make sure that Charlie takes the time to write back. We can't wait to hear all that you've been up to, kiddo. Love, Frida."
Oh.
Aww.
Mom!
Mom! And with that, I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
And I have been Katie, playing Luvira Sath, the Drow Rogue.
And I am Nassim. I played your half-orc fighter, Fetonia Silvertail, who's apparently very combative.
I mean, you did get stuck with Rook, who is also very combative. So
very combative. I'm just like, look in the mirror.
And I am your totally capable Seder Bard, Aoife Flannery, a.k.a. Sage.
I mean, you did good. You didn't fall into a shrieking mass of mushrooms. So
let's never talk about this again.
We'll talk about this again.
Never. But I just think there's not a more perfect time to roll a natural one than over a patch of shrieking mushrooms.
Absolutely.
We had great. Two natural ones this episode. This bodes well.
This is gonna be good. Yeah, so thank you all so much for joining us for episode 2. If you are new to the Venture Maidens, please do make sure to follow us everywhere. We're on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Venture Maidens. And of course, if you really like what we're doing, you can always support us on Patreon. I know we have a bunch of wonderful Patreon donors who make this show possible by donating at patreon.com/VentureMaidens. And we want to read out some names of these wonderful people. So these are our top tier patrons. So Arnie's cohorts and Farrah's drinking mate. So let's go through and just say thank you, everybody. Let's go in a circle. So I'll do one, and then Nassim, and then Katie, and then Sage. We're gonna say thank you. So thank you so much, Cody Becker at Cody Rolls 4 on Twitter.
Debbie
Curry.
Muffin at the one on Drury Lane on Twitter. And then thank you so much, Nisa McCannon.
And Richie113 in our Discord.
And my one drinking mate, Ruby.
Farrah needs more drinking mates. Get in there. Thank you so much. You Patreon donors, seriously, we couldn't have made a book. We couldn't be doing awesome intros and trailers and have better mics for this season without all of you. Your support makes so much difference to us. So thank you so much for your donations to the show. So we will be back with episode 3 in 2 weeks. But until next time,
Venture away!